Hi, and welcome to the study of God's Word from the pulpit of First Baptist Church, Winton, California.
Continuing with our series in Psalm, several of you asked me this morning, how you doing? How you feeling? Some of you I said, I'm okay. And some of you I was a little more honest, and I said, I'm tired. Not spiritually, a little physically. But that's what we do in ministry. We keep going when we think we can't keep going. Even in your own Christian walk, do you not struggle? Do you not find it in times through struggle that you just wish you could just give up? And just say, you know what, I need a timeout. I need to stop for a minute. This week, we're going to look at a time when David was tired. David was struggling physically, spiritually, and emotionally. And this made me think of one of the things that I struggle with personally, and that's probably physical labor. You can ask my wife. I would be considered more of an office guy. So when it comes to doing hard work outside or any other kind of back-breaking work, I have a tough time. I read about a story about a gentleman who took down a storage tent because a tree had fallen on it and it needed to be replaced. Instead of buying another tent, he decided to buy two metal sheds. He never put anything like those together, but he thought he could figure it out. So out he went, working on it. Turns out it was a lot harder than he thought. Probably because he didn't read the directions, right, men? What should have taken him maybe a week lasted a lot longer. And after a long period of time, he was finally able to finish everything completely. When he had time to look at the sheds and what he accomplished, and he looked back, and he knew that this was a huge project, and it was physically difficult. So every time that he worked on it, he got tired. But the problem was when he started to get physically tired. He struggled some spiritually because he'd think, I could be reading a book right now, or I could be doing something else that I enjoyed more than this. So he wasn't working at it to the best of his ability, as if he were maybe doing it for Christ, which is what Scripture tells us to do, isn't it? Well, the longer it took, the more frustrated he got, so he began to struggle emotionally. He was struggling with it so much that when the snow started falling, he was so overwhelmed that he just stopped working on it. So obviously this project took him a very, very long time. Obviously it wasn't here in California. I don't think we've seen snow in quite some time, at least down the valley. But he struggled. And when he finished, he went back to it because his wonderful wife motivated him to. And he got everything done and stuff moved back in the sheds very neatly. In life, there are times when we're struggling with something. And we get really tired because it's overwhelming. We get drained, right? Physically, spiritually, and emotionally. And it's really hard to pick ourselves back up. But here in Psalm 6, we see this happen with David. But what's the background of why David would be feeling physically, spiritually, and emotionally worn out? To answer that, we first must know that this psalm is one of a group of seven that is also known as the Penitential Psalms. They are found in chapter 6, 32, 38, 51, 102, 130, and 143. The word penitent means feeling or showing sorrow and regret for having done wrong. In other words, to be repentant. Many commentators believe that David wrote some or all of these after his transgression with Bathsheba. After that sin, God disciplined him by taking the life of his newborn child. Some of these penitent psalms were probably also written after he disobeyed God's command to not number the people. Remember, after that sin, God disciplined David by sending a plague on the people for 3 days, killing over 70,000 of his people. So that explains why the man after God's own heart would be feeling physically, spiritually, and emotionally tired all at the same time. Yet David also shows us in these Psalms that it is not hopeless, and it is possible to move forward. We just need to look to our great God to bring us through. So let's look at these three parts of David's struggle here in the first penitential psalm of Psalm 6. So if you haven't turned there, turn there now. Psalm chapter 6. Verses 1 and 2 talk about how David was suffering physically. There have been quite a few times where I know that you and I have physically struggled to make it through something. A story that was told me not too long ago is a guy in the army. He talked about how there were a lot of physical challenging things that they had to do. In basic training, one of them was the physical test. They had to do push-ups, sit-ups, a two-mile run. And the drill sergeants made them run on a track that was not paved. It was all sand. And according to him, this would help them with endurance. So they had to run around this track 5 times. At the end of every run, everyone was exhausted. But they were right. It was helping build their endurance. On the last week of their basic training, they had to pass their test with a certain run time or else they'd fail. The time for the run, though, they told, was that they only had to run 4 laps instead of 5. Maybe a slight encouragement to them. I'm not sure. I was never enlisted, so I don't know. So those of you who have probably could attest to this. It turns out that they had been running extra laps the entire time so that they would be more motivated in their final run. And it would seem a whole lot easier than the previous times. You see, a lot of times we as Christians will be physically struggling with something, such as our health or some sort of back-breaking work we're doing, or we'll just not have enough energy to do much of anything. And here we see David having the exact same problem. He starts out by crying out to the Lord, "Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger." Remember, David probably wrote this psalm after his sin with Bathsheba, or perhaps after he numbered the people. So what probably happened was David was so overwhelmed and grieved by his sin that it affected his health. It could have been some kind of stress-related health issue or something like that. But whatever it was caused by his physical struggle. Not a punishment from the Lord for his sin, because in both cases, God clearly told David what his discipline would be. Neither of those judgments involved him being afflicted by a physical disease or something of that nature. There was a number of years ago when I was younger. There was a time when I had some sin in my life, and I dared to take part in the Lord's Supper. I remember the next day I wasn't feeling too well, and before the day ended, I threw up in the bathroom. But I remember as I was doing that, I thought of my sin. And I was crying out to God, Lord, I am so sorry. I shouldn't have sinned and I shouldn't have taken communion. Please don't be angry or disappointed in me. That's probably a little like what David was doing. He was crying out to God. But especially in verse 2 when he says, have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am weak. One translation says, I am one who droops, or I'm withered. Whatever the physical struggle was, it was bad enough to make David very weak. And then he says, heal me, for my bones are troubled. He must have literally been aching all over his body. Some think he might have even been shaking all over. I don't know how you ladies do it when you get sick, but you keep working. But let me tell you, when men get sick, we're all dying. Amen. Yeah. We lay in bed and we say, oh, woe is me, right? Whatever is wrong with us is multiplied 100 times over. Ever heard of man flu? It's not pretty. The point is that whatever this malady was, it was bringing David to his knees. But that's not a bad thing, because that's the best place that he could be. When we as Christians are struggling with a health issue, or we're tired from working so much, or whatever it is that has us physically struggling, we must do what David did and take it to the Lord in prayer. The same God who created us is the same God who can give us physical strength and healing. It's okay, gentlemen. It is okay to ask God for strength or healing when we're sick and struggling. Do not ask your wives. You know why. It is okay to ask God for help. It is okay to go to God with positive things. We don't have to go to God because we're sick and we're tired. We can go to God to praise Him. We can go to God because we have something good in our life. We have something good because you're sitting here this morning. No matter what you're struggling with, no matter what issue bothers you at the moment, you are blessed because you could sit here this morning. Not to hear me. We won't go there. Mm-mm. You are blessed because you are here this morning. Because there's some people who cannot be here physically. So during these times, we must pray. We must pray. Edward Payson was a great man of God. But when he was in his early 40s, his health began to fail him. He became so weak, he lost the use of his legs and became confined to his bed. But he didn't give up. He didn't give up. It has been said that the secret of his ministry was that he prayed a lot. What's a lot? Some of you, that might be once a week. Whew. Man, I'm so glad I got to you this week, Lord. What's a lot? There's no telling how many intimate conversations he had with his beloved Lord. When his body was removed from the room that he died in, there were found grooves worn into hardwood floor next to his bed, where he rocked and seesawed his knees in constant travail as he prayed. How many of us can say that? When they were preparing his body for burial, they found great camel-like pads on his rough, worn-down knees. King David and Edward Payson are just two examples of men who cried out to God in prayer, even as they were physically struggling, because they knew that God was listening. God was ready to receive them. You and I must have the same resolve to keep our eyes on Christ, even when we are tired and weak. David was also spiritually struggling. In verses 3 through 5, it talks a lot about this. And many, many years ago, I struggled spiritually. I had allowed sin to gain a stronghold in my life, and was having difficulty praying and reading the Bible. And sadly, I decided to let my Bible collect dust while I did whatever I wanted to do. So I was living for myself and what I wanted. And I blamed God for allowing things to get so bad in my life. The longer that I drifted away, the more distant from God that I felt. It was a huge spiritual struggle. And I knew my soul was struggling. But I wasn't fighting to stay close to the Lord. The only thing I remember from that time now is how miserable I was. And nothing made me feel better. But then the Lord started to remind me of my times as a child when I read His Word and how much I loved it. And that was due to my mom persistently getting after me, giving me scripture to memorize, giving me things to think about. And those are sweet times I remember of my mother. She was a strong-willed person, but she loved the Lord even stronger. So the Lord reminded me of those times. He reminded me of past times when He had blessed me and helped me get through difficult times. And then He showed off and kept doing it over and over and over again. He reminded me what a childlike faith was. And then it clicked. I realized that I had brought the spiritual struggle on myself. And God had not forsaken me. He was with me the entire time. What a wonderful day it was when He delivered me and filled me back up with His love. But here in Psalm 6, we see David crying out to God because his soul was troubled. And as the physical trouble from the first two verses was beating him up, a spiritual struggle started as well. Remember, David sinned. So he's looking up to God, but his flesh is making him imagine God is angry with him and ready to squash him. So his heart is not at peace and he feels lost. Let me tell you, when you have sin in your life, it doesn't matter, and it won't matter how much you go to church or how much you try to pray or how many times you read your Bible. If that sin has a stronghold in your life, stronghold, the enemy will have a field day with you. He's going to beat you up. It will be so overwhelming that you'll think God won't hear you even if you tried calling out to Him. That's why there's such desperation in David's voice here. Have mercy, Lord. My soul is greatly troubled. He continues this intense lament as he says, How long, Lord? How long? I think he was longing to have that close fellowship with God back in his life. But we have to understand that he's fighting a spiritual battle here as he's praying. And it's a hard battle because Satan's minions and our flesh will do everything they can to keep us from Christ. Our mind will be filled with thoughts such as, God doesn't want to hear from you, you wicked, vile sinner. Or something to that degree. I know how we can beat ourselves up. Or you might as well enjoy the sin while it lasts. God's just going to take the fun away. But that's why in verse 4, David says, Return, O Lord, deliver me. Save me for your mercy's sake. David was a very, very smart man. He understood that he couldn't win this spiritual battle on his own. It was a deep struggle, and he was feeling the weight of all of it. But now he cries out, Return, Lord, deliver me. There's an urgency in his voice. It's showing his desire to be healed and strengthened, and his recognition that God is the only one that can do it for him. It's sad because you can almost feel his agony as he's praying this. He felt that God was distant. And no matter how small or big this trial was, he couldn't handle it on his own. But yet he knew that he can only appeal to the mercy of God. He didn't deserve it, but he appealed to God anyway because he knew who God was. He knew that God had already blessed him previously in his life. And he knew that God would continue to bless him in his life if he put his faith and trust in him. You want to get over sin in your life? Ask God for help. Ask God for help. And that's the right heart to have. To understand that you cannot do this on your own. The fact that David appeals to the mercy of God for deliverance is evidence that he's aware that he doesn't deserve it. We know that we don't deserve it. But he gives it anyway, doesn't he? He's not saying that his soul would be annihilated when he died, as some denominations suggest. Adam Clark phrased it this way, Man is to glorify thee on earth. The end for which he was born cannot be accomplished in the grave. He says, Heal my body and heal my soul, that I may be rendered capable of loving and serving thee here below. A dead body in the grave can do no good to men, nor bring any glory to thy name. That may be true. But those who have gone on in the Lord can be a great example to us and give us hope and give us faith to knowing that if I live my life for the Lord, it is not in vain that I die here on earth, is that I serve him greatly here, so my riches in heaven are great. We bring glory to God by how we deal with things in our weakest moments. You see, David understood that he was the king of God's people, and he had a responsibility to lead them spiritually to worship the one true God. And once he died, he could no longer do that. And he can't bear the thought of his people turning away from God on a bad note because of his sin. David truly was a man after God's own heart. When you and I struggle spiritually. We need to follow David's example and fall before Almighty God in worship. He will restore us when we struggle, especially spiritually, but not if we don't want Him to. Understand that. We have to want Him to. He's not going to fight us. We have to ask for help. He will restore us when we struggle spiritually. And restoration is a wonderful thing, isn't it? But let me tell you from experience, even though the season of sin was a horrible, grievous time, the restoration that comes is beautiful. And I guarantee you will feel closer to Christ. Of course, if you would have avoided that season of sin in the first place, things would have been better and different. But understand this. God uses that for His glory. God uses your struggle for His glory. And the lessons learned are extremely valuable in our kingdom life, is it not? Verses 6 and 7 talk about how David struggled emotionally. Not only was David physically and spiritually struggling, but he was also struggling emotionally. In verse 6, he says, "I'm weary with my groaning, and all night I make my bed swim. I drench my couch with my tears." David's struggle involved feeling like God was angry with him, not feeling God's presence with him, and a lack of sleep. Basically, he was an emotional wreck, as you can only imagine. He couldn't sleep because he couldn't stop crying. He couldn't stop crying because he knew his sin was against God, who had been so good to him, and who he had been so close to. Now, the feeling of distance was hard for him to grasp. I remember another story about a guy who left home for basic training. I know I'm going in the Army, but we got a lot of Army guys here, and they love to tell me stories, so I use it. But he left home for basic training, and he thought, "I'm a man now. No crying. When I get to the base, I know that I'm going to be okay." And he was okay for a while. Then the first week, the drill sergeants let them call home for the first time. And they started bawling. They were thinking about mom and dad and how much they missed them. They were far, far away and they couldn't get to them and wouldn't see them again for a few months. Then he tells me, he remembers that the female drill sergeant called him a baby. But he didn't care because he missed mom and dad. When I think of that, I think about David. And that's how I picture David here. Crying because his sin has brought a gap between him and God. At least in his mind, it has, and he just can't handle it. He wants that closeness with God. He longs for it. He misses it. He says, "My eye wastes away because of my grief. It grows old because of all my enemies." In other words, David was crying so much that he could barely open his eyes. His eyes felt like they were old because of all the strain he was putting on them with his tears and the puffiness and the redness. This was an extremely difficult time for David. But it was good because it showed his heart was truly repentant and it would have enough of an effect on him that he would never do such a horrible thing again. After that, they know they never want to do it again. They've learned their lesson. And David definitely learned his lesson. And we know that because his story in the books of 1 and 2 Samuel. as Christians. There will be times when we struggle emotionally as well. There will be times when we lose a loved one or a friend and we miss them. There will be times when we start to feel the aches and pains of the years. And we think back on our memories and it makes us sad to think of all the changes. I know you'll laugh at me because there's so many of you who are more seasoned than I am. But I watch these videos about music in the 1980s and I know you're going to laugh. But I listen to those songs and I go back to those times and I think how great things were then, how much more simpler they were. And some of you will say that about the 70s and the 60s and the 50s and the 40s, and I won't go any further to insult you. But you long for those times. David longed for his time to be back in commune with the Lord. We as Christians should feel the same way. If we're living with sin in our lives, we need to get away from that sin so that we can be close to God and allow Him to have that relationship with us that we desperately seek. Just like David, we must turn to God and allow Him to take those tears away. And then it goes on in verses 8 and 10, and he says that David was delivered. David was delivered. When David was down in the dumps, it pleased his enemies because they didn't want him to be blessed and happy. When David gave in to sin and messed up, it really pleased them because they could turn around and mock him. I think as Christians, we feel this on a day-to-day basis. When we mess up, the enemy loves it. And they love to point it out to you. But it has gotten to the point now where Christians are attacking Christians. We're tearing each other down. For what? Well, he said this, she said that. Big deal. People talk. Right? People talk, and you're not going to stop it. We are a church, and if you've been in this church long enough, you know people talk. That's okay. But when it comes between the talk and a service to God or someone ministering where they need to be, that's when I have a problem. I am not going to let that get between God and His people. And so we squash it where we can, don't we? In a diplomatic way, we try. But that's what David was trying to do. He was squashing anything that would give the enemy fuel to mock him. Of course, the enemy, Satan, wanted David to fall and not get back up. So of course he was pleased when David sinned because he thought he'd won. Yet David here in verses 8 and 10 has a whole new attitude. He addresses his enemies head on and he does so with confidence because God listened to his cries and delivered him from the depths of despair. He says, "Depart from me, workers of iniquity. The Lord has heard my weeping." And David understood that giving in to sin with ungodly associates was a bad idea. Imagine that. And all it did was pull him away from God. The same ungodly associates were not there to support and encourage him during those physical, spiritual and emotional struggles. As a matter of fact, most of them were actually discouraging him and happy that he was in the depths of despair. But David looked to God and felt God pull him back to a right relationship with himself. Now, instead of him being ashamed and troubled, he says, "My enemies will be ashamed and greatly troubled." Why? because they wouldn't turn to God in repentance like David did. They didn't have a relationship with God like David did. They were living shameful lifestyles, so they would be ashamed. David states that confidently, knowing that God would not be with them. However, David does say something interesting in the last part of verse 10. He says, "Let them turn back," or return. David knew what it was like to be overwhelmed by sin and to be so troubled that it felt like there was no hope. That's why he's saying, let them be ashamed and troubled, but let them return, which means turn to God. The God, our God, sees us through our struggles and uses it for his glory. He wanted them, David wanted them to be converted. But that didn't involve him going back to participate in that lifestyle. It meant him turning from sin and forsaking any acquaintances who encouraged him to sin. J. Edwin Orr describes some of the work among new converts in Halifax during the Second Great Awakening in Britain. He says this, and listen. He says, among them was a boxer who had just won a money prize and a belt. A crowd of his former companions stood outside the hall in order to ridicule him. And they hailed the converted boxer with a shout, "He's getting converted. What about that belt? You either have to fight for it or give it up." And the boxer retorted, "I'll both give it up and you up. If you won't go with me to heaven, I won't go with you to hell." He gave them the belt, but he persuaded some of them to accompany him to the services where another was converted and set busily working. As you see, no matter how tired you are, physically, spiritually, or emotionally, and this is the key point in the sermon. It's the last part of the sermon, but it is the key point. There is always hope. There is always hope in Christ. Let me say that again. I don't think you heard me. There is hope in Christ. Turn to him. Cling to him. Trust him. And he will bring you through anything. Amen. Dave.
Glad you pointed out in that psalm where David felt like God was mad at him. We ever feel like God is mad at you? When we leave today, think about this. God is mad about you, not at you. John 3:16. Let's stand together and sing as we close. He is Lord. Right after the service, within a few minutes, I'll be meeting with the parents and the kids. Very briefly, if you would, in the choir room. Thank you.
Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your love and your patience for us. Lord, there are times where we struggle physically, emotionally, spiritually. But Lord, that's when you shine brightest. That's when you come and pick us up. You give us the hope to continue on. And Lord, I am grateful for that. I am grateful for that in my own personal life. I am grateful that you have saved us. I am grateful that you have already won the battle. And Lord, all we need to do is trust and obey and believe. Lord, we could never do anything that could amount to the things that you have blessed us with. And we don't pretend to think that we can. But Lord, I am thankful for the opportunities that you do give, that we can tell others about you, so that they can come to know and have a relationship with you. Lord, we are blessed because we were able to be here today. I thank you that we were able to do that. But Lord, as we depart this building, I pray that that continues on into every relationship, every conversation, and everything that we do, Lord. Let your light be shown through us. Because God, you deserve the glory. And you alone deserve the glory. Thank you for who you are and what you mean to us. And let our lives be an example of that, Lord, as we go out into this heavy laden world. Lord, you are wonderful. And we love you. And all of God's people said, amen. Have a great week.
The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If you've never trusted in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, we invite you to call on him now and through a simple prayer of faith, give your life to him. If you're not attending a church that honors the Bible as the Word of God, we encourage you to locate and begin attending such a church in the area where you live. The message you have just heard was preached from the pulpit of First Baptist Church, Winton, California. For more information on the ministry of First Baptist Church, Winton, please visit our website at wintonchurch.org.